Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark. Gospel according to Mark. Chapter 3 and verse 3, reading into verse 4. Mark chapter 3, reading verses 3 and 4. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, unto the Pharisees, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? And our subject this evening is the preeminence of mercy. The preeminence of mercy. Well, we continue this evening in our studies through the Gospel according to Mark. And last week we considered some quite tricky verses or parables, one concerning an old and a new piece of garment, and the other concerning old wineskins and new wine being put into those wineskins, which ultimately will burst and spoil those wineskins. And the principle that was being presented to us was the incompatibility of the old with the new, especially in the case of the wineskins. New wine cannot be poured into old bottles. That was the teaching. Otherwise, the bottles will burst and the wine is spilled. And one of the applications that we made is that in order for one to truly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Christ alone, we must be made new. We must be regenerate. We must be born again. We must be a new bottle, as it were, in order for us to receive the new wine of the gospel, which is Christ and his salvation. In order to drink in that salvation, grace alone, Christ alone, we must be made new. New wine into new bottles. An unregenerate man is incompatible with the gospel of grace. He cannot fully receive it. Indeed, he cannot receive it at all. He is incompatible with these things. And so it was with these Pharisees and scribes. They were religious, very religious, but they were not regenerate. They were not born again. The Spirit of God was not in them, so they could not receive this gospel. They were old bottles. And the new wine and the old bottles are incompatible. And well, really, at this point in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're starting to see how the Pharisees are opposing Christ and questioning him in a more negative and hostile manner. And we shall see this as we focus on these verses that we shall look at this evening. Now, I'm actually going to start from chapter 2, from verse 23, and we're going to go all the way into chapter 3, but we'll also be referring quite heavily to Matthew's account of these events, because they're very informative for us, the account of the man with the withered hand who is healed. And what is being covered in these verses is not simply what is permissible and what is not permissible on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day features quite heavily, but the Lord's Day, or the Sabbath, I should say, the Sabbath features quite heavily in these verses. But the real theme that is running through these verses is, well, again, it's that contrast between true religion and counterfeit religion or misconceptions of religion. That is a theme that we have already seen throughout this chapter, and that contrast is going to be seen again here. And the preeminence of mercy is going to make that contrast even more visible and evident. So we pick up from verse 23, and where we read these words. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the Sabbath day. And his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? So, it's very clear what's happening here. This is an occasion when the Lord and his disciples are walking through the cornfield, the fields of standing grain, and they are plucking the ears of corn, and they are hungry, the disciples. They have a sincere hunger. They're not simply peckish. They were hungry. Remember, they have by and large left their employment. The fishermen have left their nets. Levi, the tax collector, has left his tax office. So food was not readily available. They were poor. They were needy and they were hungry. And so the disciples begin to pluck the ears of corn as they walk through this field. But the Pharisees, they have something to say about it in verse 24. Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Now, there was actually nothing wrong with what the disciples were doing. Indeed, provision was made in the law, the law of Deuteronomy, for those who were in this situation, those who were poor and needy. Provision had been made. We won't turn to it, but in Deuteronomy 23 and verse 25, when thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbors, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. So that's in the word of God. That's in Deuteronomy. As long as you weren't going into the field with a sickle and harvesting your neighbor's field, it was permissible, if you're passing through, to pluck the heads of corn, to pluck the grain and eat. But the Pharisees see it a different way. They see it as defiling the Sabbath. Why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? What law were they going by? Well, they were judging it by their own Jewish law, Jewish tradition, rabbinical laws in the Mishnah, drawn up by the rabbis. There was a law that it was wrong for anybody to take ears of grain equal to a lamb's mouthful on the Sabbath day. That's the exact wording of the Mishnah. You should not take ears of grain equal to a lamb's mouthful, not on the Sabbath day. So according to the Pharisees, the disciples were flagrantly breaking the Sabbath. And the Lord, this Jesus of Nazareth, in their eyes, didn't care that this Sabbath was being defiled. But the Lord, in verse 25, he brings them back to the word of God, not the rabbinical teaching. He brings them back to the scriptures. And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he answers them with scripture. Now these verses, they refer to the Old Testament account. Again, I won't turn to it, but it's recorded for us in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 to 6, when the high priest gives David and his men the showbread, the consecrated bread, the holy bread, if you like, which only the priests were allowed to eat. That was a divinely ordained rule. But David and his men, they were given bread. Why? Why were they given bread that was only lawful for the priests to eat? Well, the Lord is going to explain why in the next few verses. The Lord is going to emphasize the preeminence of mercy. And we have to make this clear before we look at these verses. Religion, true religion, the teaching of these verses will instruct us. True religion is to communicate or to reflect mercy, love, kindness, a desire to meet the needs of a needy people, of a suffering people. That's what true religion does. That's what true religion is. Now, David and his men, in that example, the cited by the Lord Jesus Christ, they were hungry, they were starving. So on that occasion, when David goes in, it would actually have been dishonoring to God to deny them the showbread. Dishonoring to God. It would have given the impression that God is hard-hearted. They were hungry. David and his men were hungry. But God doesn't care about that. And God doesn't want the high priests to care about that. God, well, he turns a blind eye to genuine hunger. God doesn't care. In that case, it would have been dishonoring to God. But it was right. It was right that the high priest showed mercy and gave them bread to eat. That was honoring to God. That reflected the character of God truly and earnestly. And it's the same with the Lord's disciples taking the heads of grain. They were not actually doing anything wrong, but they were in genuine need, genuine hunger. And so to reflect the heart of God, mercy must be shown to them, regardless of whether it was the Sabbath or not. Mercy, the preeminence of mercy, must be shown to them. And a regenerate heart, somebody whose heart has been moved by the Holy Spirit of God, will recognize this, the preeminence of mercy. Now, we do have to qualify this because, well, this was a divinely ordained rule. And, well, what are we saying when we think of these things and think of this teaching? Well, we must say that these are exceptional cases. And we are permitted to forego religious duties and rules only in cases of showing mercy, only in genuine cases of need. We're not permitted to forego religious duties and rules simply to pander to people's wants. That's not showing mercy to anybody or to give in to trivial demands. Say, for example, if somebody invites us to a birthday party on the Lord's Day or to watch a football match on the Lord's Day. I remember being pressured very severely many years ago when a football team had a match on the Lord's Day. It was an important match, a semi-final, being so pressured to go. But we're not entitled to use that as an example. That's not showing mercy. That's just giving in to the ways of the world. And so we have to be careful when we read these passages because Satan can use these verses and say, you see, you don't have to keep God's rules. You don't have to keep God's laws. You can do whatever you want. But that's a misapplication of these principles. It's to show mercy. It's not to give in to the ways of the world. Genuine cases of need. So, for example, if somebody was very ill in hospital, you are entitled to go and visit them on the Lord's Day. Even if it meant missing a service, yes. If they're ill, or if it's a neighbor or somebody, they need you to help. And they don't have anybody else to help them, and they're counting on you, depending upon you. In those cases, to show mercy, to show that you care for them, you're not simply a religious person, you're somebody who cares for them. In those cases, well, the religious duties that we hold so dear, they can be overruled for that time. It's the preeminence of mercy. But of course, in all these things, well, we must be able to exercise discernment Is this a genuine case? Is this a genuine need? We must discern that. We must pray over those things. And we must be aware that Satan can twist verses such as these. But nevertheless, it is clear what the Lord is teaching. It is the preeminence of mercy. And where there is genuine need, we must be prepared to meet that need above all. And then, well, in verse 27, he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Well, I won't have time to go into this in great detail, but the Sabbath, the seventh day, was instituted by God to be a blessing to man. That is what is being taught here. The Sabbath day was to be a blessing to him, a joy to him, to meet his needs. The Sabbath was not to oppress man. It wasn't instituted to enslave him, as it were, so that man would become resentful of the Sabbath day. It was to grant blessing and to grant joy and to meet the need of man. And that's the principle. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Well, we have to make sure that we never turn the Lord's Day into something that is oppressive, something to be feared, something that we don't look forward to. We must be careful we don't turn the Lord's Day into something that is negative or cold, because we have needs. We have spiritual needs on the Lord's Day that must be met. We need the Word of God. We need to worship God. We need to sing God's praises. We need to have fellowship with one another. We need to bear one another's burdens. There are spiritual needs that must be met on the Lord's Day, and we must meet them. That is the teaching of these words here. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. We must make sure that we protect the Lord's Day. This is all part of protecting the Lord's Day, not simply that we don't go shopping on the Lord's Day, but we protect it in that we make sure that our needs are met, those spiritual needs. But the Pharisees, well, they don't care about that, about the needs of the disciples or anything to do with that at all, but we should. And that is really the teaching here in verse 27 and verse 28. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. But just a few things just to mention about the Sabbath. I've mentioned about the Sabbath, or our Lord's Day, being a day when we must make sure it is a joy and we meet our spiritual needs. But at the same time, we must be about the Lord's business. Again, we know that Satan can take these words and cause us to be very self-centered on the Lord's Day, but we must be about the Lord's business. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, and let's just look at this account, or Matthew's account of the same events, because they are very instructive for us. Matthew 12 and verse 3. This is what we read in Mark, but I'll just read them again, just so we know where we are. But he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? We've looked at that example. But then the Lord gives another example, verse 5. Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? What does that mean? How are we to interpret that? Well, the priests on the Sabbath day, they were very busy. The priests on the Sabbath day, they, in a sense, they broke the Sabbath because they were working on the Sabbath. They had to work hard and they labored hard on the Sabbath day. But the difference was they were doing the Lord's work. And so it was right for them to labor on the Lord's day. There was nothing wrong with that. They were blameless. They were working on a day when there should be rest, but they were blameless because they were doing the Lord's work. And so we apply that to ourselves. Sometimes people say to us, why do you do so much on the Lord's day when it should be a day of rest? Well, it's right for us to do work on the Lord's day. We are blameless, just like these priests in the temple. We must do the Lord's work. A preacher must preach. If we're holding it right to the letter of the law, I'm breaking the Sabbath because I'm working on the Lord's day. I'm preaching to you. But a preacher must preach and be blameless. I'm still blameless. A Sunday school teacher must teach. They are working, they are laboring, they are teaching, but they are not breaking the Sabbath. They are blameless. They are doing the Lord's work. And then the Lord says, well, in verse 6, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. The priests were laboring so hard in the temple, doing the Lord's work in the temple. But how much more ought we to work on the Lord's day? Because we have Christ. We're not working in the temple. We work for Christ. And so it's good, it's right for us to labor on the Lord's day. In this place is one greater than the temple. And then verse 7, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. So mercy again is mentioned, the preeminence of mercy, not simply religious observances, mercy and not sacrifice. And therefore, we are guiltless. But then we have this healing, and we'll remain in Matthew for this healing of the man with the withered hand. Verse 9, and when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And verse 10, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, his right hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? So there is a man with a withered hand, and the Pharisees again, looking to accuse him, ask him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? Again, according to the rabbis, it was not lawful to heal on the Sabbath days. Only if a man was about to lose his life, was on death's door, then you were permitted to help him or to heal him. But this man, he's not at death's door. He only has a withered hand. And so this was very offensive to the Pharisees and to the rabbis. Is he going to do this on the Sabbath day? Surely this healing can wait, they say to themselves. But then, well, the Lord says to them, verse 11, he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ gives them an illustration. If you saw a sheep in a pit and it was in a desperate state, would you not lay hold on it and lift it out? Even if it was on the Sabbath day, you would, because you'd have mercy on that animal. You'd have pity on that animal and you would take it out of the pit. And then he says, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Well, man is far better than a sheep, and man needs healing and rescue on the Sabbath day. That is the teaching of this passage. And well, we apply it to ourselves. When we are in this community, when we see men and women on the Lord's Day, lost, without God in the world, they don't know the gospel, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, many people enslaved in their sins, many people suffering without God, are we just going to leave them in the pit? Are we going to do nothing on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day? Are we just going to be idle and not care about their state? Or are we, out of pity and out of mercy, are we going to do something about it? Are we going to get them out of the pit? This is our justification for doing what we do, for laboring on the Lord's day. So many men and women, they're in a pit, a snare of sin. We have to get them out. We have to go out and do the contact work. We have to go out and collect the children. We have to go out and drive the vans. Because otherwise we're hardening our hearts. We're seeing everyone around us and we don't care about their state. We're just going to be idle. We're just going to rest on the Lord's day because it's a day of rest. That's not how we see things. That's not how the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us. We must have mercy. Out of mercy for this community, we go out and we work hard, even if it is on the Lord's day. This is the justification. It's all here for us. How much then is a man better than a sheep? We must preach Christ. We must lead people to Christ, lead people out of that pit, out of that miry clay, and set their feet upon a rock. That's what we can do. That's what we must do on the Lord's day. And, then we have the healing of the Lord. Then saith he to the man, verse 13 in Matthew 12, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. A glorious healing on the Sabbath day. How many souls have been healed on the Sabbath day? How many souls have been made whole because they've come in, or we've gathered them in, into the church on the Lord's day, on the day that is meant to be for rest? The Lord blesses the Sabbath day, the Lord's day. He delights to bless. But then verse 14, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. And well, this was the hypocrisy. This was the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. The Pharisees are seemingly so concerned about keeping the law. And yet look at the state of their hearts. They have murderous thoughts against Christ. On the Sabbath day, they're planning to murder Christ. They're planning to destroy Christ. That's breaking the law. Thou shalt not kill. And yet, well, the Pharisees, they don't have a problem with that, having murderous thoughts in their hearts. On the Sabbath day, they couldn't care less. That's the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. They make such a big thing out of everything else, but there are murderous thoughts in their hearts. But dear friends, we're almost out of time. Just one more thing, seeing as the Lord's Day or the Sabbath day is mentioned several times in these verses. Some people say to us, issue is often raised about what is the correct Sabbath day. Some people say that it should be the old Jewish Sabbath, the Saturday, it's not the Saturday, it's the Friday evening going into Saturday. That's the old Sabbath. And they have a great problem with us as Christians. They say we shouldn't move it. You're going to move the Sabbath day. You can't do that. You're breaking the law. You're breaking the rules. You can't move the Sabbath day to another day. But dear friends, when we consider these principles, we have every right, or rather the Lord has every right, to move the Sabbath day. There's nothing wrong in so doing. We're not breaking any laws. It's still the same principle. The principle is one day in seven. One day in seven. There's no specific day of the week attached to it. It's one day in seven. We still hold to that. We're not doing anything wrong. But why has the Sabbath day been moved? Why is it the Lord's day? Well, because it speaks of mercy. The Lord's day speaks of mercy. The death and the resurrection of Christ. Christ was raised on the Lord's day for our justification, so that we can be sure that we have received the mercy of God. The Lord's day speaks of mercy. The old Sabbath speaks of law, speaks of the Jewish tradition, the Jewish way of doing things. The old Sabbath speaks of law. The Lord's day speaks of grace and mercy. The preeminence of mercy. We can move it. The Lord can move it because mercy is preeminent. And this is the teaching of the Lord's word. True religion. Yes, we hold to all that we do. We hold to our doctrines. We hold to our religious observances and the ordinances that God has given us. But our religion is nothing without mercy and grace and love being communicated. The preeminence of mercy, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ taught. And may the Lord help us that we may have that desire and that attitude and spirit in our hearts and in this church.